Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee, and I'd like to start off by thanking my guest from last week. And actually, if you didn't get an opportunity to listen to the show, check it out in archives. I spent an hour with Johnny Love, and if you want to know about different cuts of meat and huntspoint.com, which has got several stores out there, one with Barbecue Superstars, check it out in archives because it was a really great interview. I'm looking forward to my first order coming from him this week, so I'll be hopefully getting it in tomorrow for the Tallahassee contest. In Florida, we've got the Tallahassee contest this weekend, as well as Bainbridge, Georgia is pretty close, and that's a KCBS contest, which several of the guys go up there too. So the Florida group will be split up a little bit. Quick congratulations to the Budmeister crew from Lake City for Grand Championship down at the in Claremont. I'm thinking two different contests. They won Grand Champion in Claremont, and Big Papa Dana Hillis took Reserve Grand Champion down in Claremont. There was also a contest, Smoking on the Square, which happens to be a KCBS contest, but it was in Florida, and we're going to get into that later on because we've got their Grand Champion Blue Bloods with us later on during the show. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q. If you haven't tried his pork injection, he has a concentrated liquid, which makes your life a lot easier. Give Jim a call. He's got two sauces out there that are really doing a great job. And if you want to get an ugly drum, or as I like to fondly call it, the juice can, Jim does a great job. And quite frankly, that has been extremely good to me and my ribs lately. So check him out, and you can either get him on Facebook or go to sweetsmokeq.com. Also, Mac Daddy Smokers, you may have seen my little Pit Viper that I've received from Mac Daddy Cookers, and today I was out cutting black cherry for this weekend, and it's kind of cool. I cut just a little bin and a few extra pieces, and that'll probably take me through two contests with that cooker. It does not use a lot of wood. It's very efficient, and he's got a couple other ones out there. Also, he's got the Mac Daddy Challenge coming up next weekend, so if you're interested in that, it's an educational challenge series of 11 contests, and you would need to make this one if you want to be eligible for his grand championship, and you can check that out on MacDaddySmokers.com. Also, Rectech Pellet Cookers, that's the pellet cooker that has the bull horns on the front of it. Super happy with that cooker. You can give Ray a call. They're out of the Atlanta, Georgia area. CookinPellets.com, a premium pellet, which I'm using exclusively now. The Rectech happens to be calibrated for that premium pellet from cookandpellet.com. And also Royal Oak, whether it's lump charcoal or briquettes, I'm super happy to have them on board. And Pirate 50, give Dale a shout if you're looking for a sight sign for your competition team or trophies. They do and you see them all over Facebook, they do a great job with that sort of thing. And I'm going to go straight to my first guest, and we've got Forrest Dilmer. Can you hear me, Forrest?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Lord?
Yep. You could be just a tad louder, I'm guessing. Try it again.
How about now?
You're a little bit better. We've got Forrest with us, and Forrest, you're a past president from SBA, aren't you?
Right.
When was that?
That was
2010. Now, for my listeners that don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit of background and how you actually got into competition cooking?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I'll I'll kind of try and condense it a little bit for time's sake. But I've been involved in outdoor cooking for several years, mainly Dutch oven cooking. That's my favorite thing to do is Dutch oven cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I got involved with actual smoking foods and barbecue when I was involved in the Cattlemen's Association, the local Cattlemen's Association. We had a reverse flow pit, and we smoked steaks for various functions and meats and so forth. And I was on the cooking team.
Oh.
And then I got involved with some of my friends who had smokers, and we was always kind of in competition with each other for, you know, to see who could cook the best food the fastest. We were cooking hot and fast before Myron made it cool to do.
Right.
And it was in 2006. I got a double dog dare from a friend of mine to compete in a barbecue contest, a non-sanctioned barbecue contest. I'd never even been to one before, never cooked one, but I was game, especially it being a double dog dare. I could turn it down.
Yeah,
and
right.
there were six or seven of us that, you know, it was basically our first contest, and you know, and one name that comes to mind of the group besides myself was a little fella from North Georgia named Bubba.
Oh.
A lot of people know him as William Latimer.
Yeah,
Bubba Q.
Yeah.
Me and Bubba cooked our very first contest at the same contest. And me and Bubba's kind of had a bond ever since because of that.
Yeah. Well,
out
of the group, what happened?
I was going to say, out of the group, me and Bubba pretty much the only two that continued on, you know, with more of a career of it and success, a lot of success, which Bubba's been on, you know, Food Network and Pitmasters and so forth like that, and I'm just not really interested in that aspect of it, but I've had a lot more success than I ever imagined I would have.
Yeah, because we don't see you out all the time, but any time you come out, you're getting calls.
Well, I've been out a lot. Prior to last year, I was cooking 40 contests a year.
Wow.
And last year I slowed down a good bit, and you know, I just, you know, was getting to the point of getting burnt out.
Right.
And this year I'm kind of taking it easy a little bit, you know, going to do some more Dutch oven cooking, this, you know, which is what I'd really rather be doing anyway, and doing some classes and hitting a few contests here and there. I'll be making some cameo appearances every once in a while. You never know when I might pull up. You see a big red truck, you just suck air.
Now, I did see that you're going to Bainbridge this weekend.
No. No, I won't be at Bainbridge.
Oh, I thought I saw that you were going.
No, I'll be at Thomaston the first weekend of April. That'll be my first contest in 4 months, and it's been probably 6 years since I went four months without cooking a contest.
Wow, I'm guessing you're going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the Dutch oven, because one of my comments that I have, my little notes here, is I kind of think of you as the king of the Dutch oven. Now, do you cook most of your contests exclusively with the Dutch oven, or what else do you use? Because I've never really peeked around your campsite before.
Well, I cook on, as far as competition, a lot of times I cook on either Lang's or Vikings. I've got two Vikings that I have in my trailer that I cook on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And generally about once a year I cook a barbecue contest on Dutch ovens, and I've never failed to make it to the stage.
Yeah.
At least once. Or at least twice, really.
And it is truly, it's an art. I'm actually playing and working on it, but you know, I got on this site that has all about Dutch oven cooking. There's so much information out there. How did you actually get started doing that?
Well, several years ago, my boss at the time, he talked about being, you know, in the past he had been real involved in scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go off on these little scouting excursions, and
right.
and somebody would cook a peach cobbler in a Dutch oven. Well, it kind of intrigued me, and just like the barbecue contest, I'd never seen anybody cook in a Dutch oven. You know, never even seen a picture of it. Didn't really know what it entailed, and so you know, out of curiosity, I bought me a Dutch oven and baked a peach cobbler, and the first one I baked, it was so sweet I had to throw it out. It was inedible. It was just too sweet. And then I tried it again, and the bug kind of hit me, kind of like Jason of Jason of Team Unknown. You know, Jason has kind of got into Dutch oven cooking a little bit. We had a little year or so ago, we had a little Dutch oven competition in Ocala, and I granted it, and Jason reserved, and I was very impressed with Jason's cooking.
Oh, wow.
I think the bug has bit him as well. I went from one Dutch oven, from that first Dutch oven, to I don't know how many I've got now. It's well over 100.
Oh. Wow. So every shape and size.
Yeah, matter of fact, last week I ordered and I had 14 new ones come in. You know,
now,
I don't order one or two at a time. I order volume.
I guess. Now, I know you've got a class coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And I should mention, you're in Cottondale, Florida, right?
Right. I'm in the Panhandle.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for your class and when it's coming up?
Okay. Class coming up the last weekend of this month, 28th and 29th. It's a barbecue competition class. About 3 years ago, I announced my first class, and before time for the class, I kind of got a little queasy about it, and I backed out. Well, I decided now is finally the time to do it, and it's like I say, it's barbecue competition. You know, Forest's Fine Foods, you know, has a long history, like you said. You know, I'm always on the stage.
Yeah.
2010 Grand Champion Best of the Best Invitational, you know, Team of the Year standings and all, and you know, I've been pretty consistent over the years, and you know, and this is a full fledged tell all, pretty much class. Be done contest format, but instead of Friday Saturday, it'll be Saturday Sunday.
Okay.
You know, everything from meat selection through trimming, prepping, you know, injections, marinades, sauces, rubs, you know, on into cooking, my particular techniques, and my techniques basically hadn't changed much over the last 5 or 6 years. So, you know, they've been real consistent and pretty much stayed with the same techniques, even changing, you know, cooker styles. I've stayed with the same techniques because they work for me. And,
right.
Everything from, you know, from the prep through the box building, and I'll also be doing some KCBS as well, you know,
mm-hmm.
building, or at least building KCBS boxes. When I cook KCBS, I cook the same as I do FBA. When I cook MBN, I cook the same as I do FBA.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you gearing it for the first-time person with techniques, or are you going for a little bit more advanced?
Well, either one could benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my techniques, my techniques be explained, you know, thoroughly, and you know, they can be used by advanced. You know, the world of barbecue competition, you know, it's ever-changing, and there's,
yeah.
you know, in my opinion, I've always had the feeling that there's no such thing as perfect barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets better and better. And where it stops, you know, who knows? But there's always, you know, some little thing that you can do to what you're already doing to make what you're doing better.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, so I think my class would be, you know, it could be advantageous to the seasoned competitor as well as the beginning competitor.
Right. And how many people can you hold, Forrest?
I can hold pretty much as many as I can get signed up, but you know, I want to try to keep the class size kind of small. You know, I've got some slots still available. I want to keep it small. You know, more one-on-one.
Absolutely. Do you still have some spaces left then?
Yes, I do. I've still got several spaces left. Been kind of a little slow about getting signed up. There's a lot of classes going on right now, and
yeah.
You know, in a class, I've always thought I've actually took classes myself. Five-time FBA Team of the Year consecutively, Kevin Bevington, homebarbecue.com. I went to Kevin's very first class, and I don't use any of Kevin's recipes. I don't use any of Kevin's techniques, but I use a little bit of Kevin's stuff to go with what I do, and it works for me.
It's funny. Sometimes just one little thing, it makes it worth every penny of travel and time that you put in to get just one thing. So I'm sure anything you offer out there. How can somebody get a hold of you, and what's the cost of the class for us?
Okay, the cost of the class is $400. You know,
mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's a 2-day class. Saturday contest format, Saturday, Sunday. Also includes meals and a meet and greet on meet and greet and supper on Friday night.
Oh, nice!
And you know, we'll have supper on Saturday, on Friday night. On Saturday, we'll have dinner, which a lot of people call lunch. To me, it's in the Florida Panhandle, it's called dinner. And then in the evening time, we have supper.
Yeah.
So we'll have dinner and supper on Saturday, and then on Sunday, we'll have breakfast on Sunday morning, and the dinner part of it will be, you know, of course, that's during turn-in times. And,
right.
You know, we'll have some of the best pork, brisket, ribs, and chicken you can have.
Yeah.
You know, a little side note, you know, Forrest's Fine Foods, you know, when the National Barbecue rankings was going on, you know, we're running. You know, Rub has done real good in that, ranked number one. Well, for 18 months or 18 months solid in 2010 and over half of 2011, Forrest's Fine Foods was ranked number one brisket team.
Oh, really?
And number one rib team as well, all of 2010.
Wow.
So, you know, I've got credentials.
Yeah. Now, whenever anybody sees you, they're like, oh, well, we know you're taking something, because, like I said, we didn't see a lot of you last year, but every time you were at a contest, you were walking the stage, and pretty much everybody knows to look for you, to expect it out of you, I guess we should say. Now, let me ask you this, because where does the Forrest Fine Foods come from? Do you have a line? Because I thought maybe you had some other business on the side with that.
No. Forrest's Fine Foods, and there again, there's a long story behind that, and I've shared the story with a couple of people before, and I'm not gonna get into that story over the radio with you, but that's the name that one of my old friends, come up with, and when I was looking for a name, and you know, of course, my name is Forrest, and Forrest is an ownership, and you know, a friend of mine come up with that name, and was actually coming up with a catering service name, and I didn't really want my name involved in it, but of all the choices that was thrown out, I kept on coming back to this Forrest's Fine Foods, and it was actually a spoof. A friend of mine's wife embroidered that on an apron. A group of us, about half a dozen of us, used to get together and net suckers on Friday night and then fry them on Saturday night, you know, right there on the water, and a couple of my buddies were prize suckers. One was in charge of Hush Puppy, and of course I was always in charge of the dessert and whatever. Everybody come to see what I was going to cook on a Dutch oven. And this Forrester's Fine Foods as a spoof was embroidered on an apron that presented to me at one time. And matter of fact, I still got the apron.
Yeah. It's funny how some of that stuff sticks with you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
and of course, you know, my biggest fan was my daddy, and, you know, and I'm Forrest Jr. And, you know, and I thought about, you know, changing my team name, but we lost Daddy 6 years ago, and like I said, he was my biggest fan, and if I was to change my name now, every time I got a call, Daddy wouldn't hear it.
I guess
I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, that's a nice tribute, too. Now, do you have a line of sauces or rubs that you produce?
I don't at the time, but it is in the making. Forrester's Fine Foods products will be available this year. I've got a line of sauces. You know, I make my own sauces. I make my own rubs and my injections, and I'm currently working on getting all of those bottled. Get my sauce, my rubs packed, and I've got a tremendous brisket rub. Well, matter of fact, I've got two brisket rubs that are really something to be aware of.
Well, I'd like to be aware of that. Brisket rub is a tough deal. I mean, I have my own, but a commercial brisket rub, there just isn't a great one out there, you know.
Well, there are several commercial rubs out there that are good, you know. I've used some of them in the past, you know, played around with some, tried to copy a few of them. You know, there's probably a half a dozen rubs, like I said, that work really good. And I don't mind throwing some out. You know, some things that I've used in the past. You know, Smoking Guns makes a wonderful product.
Mm-hmm.
Suckle Busters makes a good product. Head Country is a good standby. Head Country don't sponsor a lot of teams. In 2010, Head Country sponsored Forrester's Fine Foods and Johnny Trigg. I think that was the only teams that they sponsored.
Wow.
You're
in there with good company then, Forrest.
Yeah. And, you know, there's several things out there, you know, that's commercially available that works well on brisket. You know, brisket is a tough meat. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you about this little thing going on locally up here in the Panhandle. Weekend after next, I've been asked to cook for this, to do the cooking for this trial thing. It's a grass-fed beef trial, and there's four producers have donated a steer apiece, and they've all been, you know, they've been on this study and all been treated the same, no grain, all grass. There's a Wagyu, there is a South Pole, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is a four-way or five-way composite beef breed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Wagyu is an American Wagyu, which is an F1 cross between Angus and Wagyu.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Devon, which is,
okay,
you know, normally a up north cow, but there is some local Devon producers in the south, and there's an Angus in the study. And I'm cooking the hamburger meat off of each one, and there's like 30 some odd people going to do taste and tenderness comparison tests on these. FBA's own Lauren and Steve Brum are involved in this. I got those two involved because they're close. They're like 40 miles from where we're doing this, and
right.
Steve has kind of developed a a scoring system for this particular thing, but there's a taste and tenderness comparison between the hamburger meat, the ribeye, and the brisket of those four breeds, all grass-fed.
And you're going to cook all three of them?
I'm going to cook all four of them, yes. And I think it'll be something that can be very useful in the marketing aspect of those breeders, and I think it'll be something that's useful in the barbecue world as well. There's a lot of interest in Wagyu. I've cooked Wagyu. I cook Wagyu a lot. I know a lot of successful teams do. I cook Heritage Pork a lot of times as well. But you don't necessarily have to have a Wagyu to win.
No.
And just because you cook a Wagyu don't mean you're going to win. It don't mean you're going to get a top 10 call. You got to know how to cook it, and you got to know how to present it.
Absolutely.
And for $400, you can learn just how to do that from Parsons Fine Foods Cooking School.
When you say Heritage Pork, are you cooking Burks, or what are you cooking?
I cook burnt when I can, and I really enjoyed last week's show with Johnny. I think Johnny's very knowledgeable in what he was talking about, and Johnny made one statement that I found to be true. I'd already figured this out. I was raised eating pork. Matter of fact, I was raised in the meat business. From where I'm sitting right now, about 2 miles from here, my daddy had a meat business in the 60s and 70s. He was a local butcher, had his own place, and I was raised eating pork, 40 years ago, which is different from modern day pork.
Absolutely.
And the first Berkshire pork I ever bought, for competition. Oh Lord, it was remarkable. It was like going back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was good. It was really good because I had missed that flavor, that extreme flavor. And matter of fact, Berkshire Pork won the 2010 Best Invitational for me.
Oh, is that right?
I cooked 8 Berkshire butts at the Best of Best for the Invitational and the Open, and I cooked 6 Wagyu briskets for the Invitational and the Open, and I spent more money on Berkshire butts than I did on the 6 Wagyu briskets.
Yeah.
And I won second place in the Invitation and I actually won second place in ribs, second place in pork, and second place in brisket.
Wow. I don't know if you saw, but I'm having Jim Compart on tonight, and we're going to chat about Compart Duroc, obviously.
Right.
To me, is another heritage hog.
And the Duroc, yeah. The Duroc is very good. I cooked Duroc, matter of fact, late last year at an MBN contest, when I get the opportunity to cook a heritage whole hog, I cook it.
I cooked
the Washaw Swire Old Spot at an MBN contest last year up in North Georgia. It's always awesome.
Right.
A lot of the heritage breeds have a lot of fat, and in my opinion, fat equals flavor.
As long as it's the right kind of fat, which we're going to talk about tonight. That's funny.
Right.
I had no idea we were going to get into this, and we're going to get tight on time here for us, but I want to ask you about this because I love that you're participating in this, and we'll call it a beef cook-off to kind of compare flavors. But when you said you were involved with the Cattlemen Association, what did you used to breed?
I used to have a commercial cow-calf herd. I had about 120 or so head of cows, but I was involved in the local Cattlemen Association. I was actually a director on the board of directors for a little over 20 years.
Yeah, and being involved with the meat market, and see, that's actually, when I think about your Forest Fine Foods, I always thought maybe that there was a you know, meat market, grocery store in your past history that that was evolved around. So now knowing that you know about meat cutting, there's always a little something interesting about the guys and, you know, and I'm going to throw myself into this because I taught meat cuts and stuff, teaching ag. There's a different way we look at meat all the way around, and I didn't realize that about you, so that's a, another interesting tip to know and be able to come in there and look at your food differently now.
Right. Let me add briefly. I kind of got off in left field about where I was going with the Heritage Court, but you know, just like Johnny mentioned last week, you know, if you're at a contest and there's a lot of young judges and mm-hmm. you're cooking a Heritage Court, whether it be Duroc or whether it be Burnt or whether it be Old Spot or Hemp or whatever, you know, you're not generally going to do well. Because that meat it tastes different than modern day pork. It has
Absolutely.
A more porky flavor, and it tastes different. And I think it actually scares those younger judges. It don't taste right.
Yeah.
But you hit a table of older judges. You know, like Dan Buchanan. You know, Dan Buchanan and Bob Parker. They're about as old as they get. you hit their table, and they're gonna sit there and savor the flavor.
Yeah.
And you're gonna get a good score.
Yeah. When I look at the colors of meat, and again, we're gonna talk more about this, but when I look at the colors of meat now to what it used to be, you know, dressing a hog out or something, there's a huge difference because, you know, I'm talking 30 years, 35 years ago too. So, yeah, it's different.
There's no comparison between meat 30 to 40 years ago and modern day today's meat. There's just
yeah,
no comparison.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anytime, and even in my personal life, when I cook pork at home to eat, if I can get Heritage pork, I cook Heritage pork.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely the upper end of flavor, that's for sure. So let's, because I want to wrap this up with you, but not missing anything regarding the school. The best way for somebody to get a hold of you for your class, what would that be?
Okay, I can be reached by phone. That's probably about the best way. Call me. If you don't get me, leave me a message, and I can get an application mailed or emailed to you. I'm just getting into the 21st century. I'm actually talking to you by Bluetooth right now. I'm sitting in my truck talking to you. I hadn't had that capability long, but I can be reached at 850-209-7777, or I can be emailed at fffbbq@yahoo.com. Or at Forrest's Fine Foods, that's Forrests Fine Foods @gmail.com.
Okay, and I'm writing those down, so if anybody can't get a hold of you or forgot it, if they'll private message me, if they can't get to you, I'll pass that on since you're now in the 20th century. It's nice to see you on Facebook. But before we go from you, if you could give one tip for both the experienced as well as a new person, what would you tell somebody, you know, in all the wisdom that you have, what would be a great one-tipper?
Well, okay, well, I've got a lot of tips. We don't want to get into that when we're trying to hurry, but
no, we're
say,
okay, because my next girl hasn't even called in yet. So, I mean, I just want to make sure we watch our time.
Okay, I would say, and this is something that I've kind of, you know, in my competition career, I've kind of went by this creed, and I told a lot of people this as well, and somebody not knowing it, they need to hear it. You know, when you're competing, a lot of people cut corners on meat, they cut corners on various things because it's very expensive to compete.
Mm-hmm.
If I hooked up my trailer, I figure on $1,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, time you add fuel and everything. The way I've always looked at it is pay my entry fee I've done spent more money than I should. And and when it comes time to buy meat, that ain't the time to cut corners. You know, get the very best quality meat that you can get to cook at that contest. And don't skimp on it. You know, it's absolutely not the time to cut corners. If you're gonna cut corners, take a shortcut or something. Save a little bit of fuel. You know, don't cut corners on meat.
That's a huge tip, because it's hard to do. You know, I've kind of confessed that I just bought my first Wagyu. I'm expecting it tomorrow, and I'm a little traumatized over it, to be honest with you. but you know, my certified Angus are doing well, and
I've seen that. I've noticed Bar God has come up in the brisket scores, and
yeah.
And I'm glad to see that. You know, I am the brisket king. But, yeah, we need the brisket queen.
Well, I know Corey would like to be the brisket queen, because she does a great job, but I'm nipping at her. And, you know, but it is traumatizing. I said today to somebody, when I first got my first pellet cooker, it was traumatizing to me to buy pellets, because I was a co-owner in a sawmill. So I use scrap wood, you know, to burn in my stick burners. So it was a little traumatizing to me.
Yeah.
But that's a great tip. And the last thing I want to ask you is, for your bucket list, do you have a bucket list that is something you'd really like to do in barbecue that you haven't done as of yet?
Yeah, there is one thing I'd really like to do, and you know, I've cooked a lot of contests. I've went to a lot of different venues. The last 6 years, I've traveled more than I've ever traveled. I went to places that I normally wouldn't go to, and I've loved it. I've put a lot of miles. I've put a lot of miles on my trailer. Matter of fact, I think now I'm on my fifth trailer.
Wow.
And you know, I really enjoyed it. I've been invited to the Royal Invitational numerous times. I've never really had no desire to go to Kansas City, but and I've had bums in the Jack, you know, in the Jack drawing, and I have never been drawn in that lottery. If I ever get drawn for the Jack, I will be going to Lynchburg.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's one contest I'd really like to go to. I know Bubba has been, Rub has been several times. Got a buddy, the Ross team over in Tallahassee, Steve Ross.
Mm-hmm.
I was over at Steve's house this past Saturday visiting with him a little bit. And, you know, Steve, he got a draw for the Jack one time, and it was an experience for him. And, you know, that's one contest that I would definitely cook if I could ever win the lottery on it.
Yeah, that would be an amazing event. Everybody always talks, you know, about what a great time it is to participate in that. And there's no doubt that if you set your mind to it, Forrest, and we're out there more, you'd have more drawings in there if you were cooking more. But
right.
You know, good luck on your class. I know that anybody that goes to your class will certainly enjoy it. You're an easy guy to talk to, and I know you're willing to share your knowledge, and especially if somebody's writing you a check. No.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice to be paid for and reap the benefits for what you work so hard to do.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, when I started competing, you know, I never imagined it getting to the point to where it is now, you know,
yeah.
In my life. You know, I never imagined winning the grand. I never imagined being successful or teaching a class or nobody even wanting to know what I knew. My mama, I was talking with my mama one night last week. She said you could take what you got in your truck and your trailer and buy a pretty nice house with it. I said, yeah, but I wouldn't have no fun with that though.
Yeah, I guess people in our families are always telling us stuff like that. I get comments like that all the time. We could take all this crap and buy a big RV.
they just don't understand.
No, I think you're correct. They don't. Well, Forrest, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you being with us. Is there anything that you want to last minute leave us with?
Yeah, I really enjoy your show. I've been going to listen to it for a long time, and I finally got into the modern times a little bit, and I heard it last week for the first time, and I really enjoyed it. It was one of the best barbecue shows. I've been on Rempy before. It's been about 4 years since I was on Barbecue Central, and I had a good time on there, but I've had a really nice time with you this evening, and I really appreciate what you're doing with the education on the heritage pork. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, Forrest. I appreciate you being with us. And if we can help you, anything you need announced, don't hesitate to give me a call or write me a private message. If I can announce something for you, be happy to do that, okay?
All right. Same back to you, Lori.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. All right, folks. That's Forrest Fine Foods with us tonight. And remember, he's got a class at the end of the month, the 28th and 29th. It's a Saturday and a Sunday, and you can contact him online. Now, I'm waiting for – I've got a gal that's supposed to call in, Leslie Mart, and I'm going to actually try to call her. She is going to do just a real quick little thing to promote a – let's see. She's going to promote a contest, so I'm going to try and call her here. I think if you've been on before, sometimes this call goes through really nicely, and sometimes it doesn't, since she might have problems trying to call in. So let's just call her. Okay. Oh, sorry about in the air. Yeah, we're calling her. That's the number that I saw. She'll go, "What is this?"
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
So that you don't hear the rest of it. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is Leslie is promoting the Tupelo Barbecue Duel. It's the Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Contest in Tupelo, Mississippi. It's benefiting the Link Center, and I was hoping to have her on. I'm guessing something's happened. She was going to explain, basically talk about what the charity is. It is $15,000 in cash and for the prizes. So if you would like to find out more information on that, it's the Tupelo BBQDuel.com, and you can go there, and it has information. It has Leslie's contact number as well as another gentleman, which I did not write down. But they also have some ancillary contest shrimp and wings. Kind of was hoping to ask her. They seem to have quite a bit of activities going on there. And, again, the Tupelo BBQDuel.com. You can check that out. And then my next guest, David, I know, is going to be running right down to the wire, so he's about due in here. We're going to have David Morrow from Blue Bloods. But I do want to just remind you that Barbecue Superstars is here 6 nights a week, and 5 days during the day you can catch Daryl on BarbecueSuperstars.com live stream. So I know they had a bunch from the conference in Texas over the last few, last week. I was going to say last few days. It's actually last week. And if it works out with Daryl this week, unless he has a big show planned, I'm hoping to do a live remote. Yeah, even though they're short, we usually, when we do those live remotes at contests, they're short because, number one, I've got meat I'm tending to, but, the guys that let me come in and interview them, they're generally in the midst of their inner sanctum time, too, and without getting too nosy, because quite frankly, people have let me see things that I don't think they normally want, you know, somebody walking in on. And I guess if I had a camera, they might say, eh, I don't really want to do a brief interview. So the time I get with them, I really appreciate. And hopefully, if Daryl doesn't have a big one planned for Friday, I'm hoping to do his Friday Night Lights. I like to do those when I'm actually at a contest competing. And we'll be in Tallahassee, so if you're a team in Tallahassee and you're not coming to the contest, come on out and say hello. And if you're out towards the evening time and you're, whether you're a team that's there to compete or you just came to hang out, because like Forrest was just talking about Steve Ross, I didn't realize that they were from North. They used to be from the from South Florida. And let's just go to our next guest. I think this is David. David, is that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, you're right on time. How are you tonight?
Yeah, it's a rarity. Man, I am working, so I don't know what to say. I'm lucky,
okay,
I guess,
well,
right now.
You are defending, protecting, and serving. And, hey, you had just an amazing weekend, didn't you?
Oh, it was awesome. It was a great weekend.
Yeah, so that was Smoking on the Square, and that's in Pensacola?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so give us the lowdown. Tell us. You're with Blue Bloods Barbecue Team, you and your wife, and I see you had some other people joining you this weekend, so give us the lowdown.
Well, the other guy that's with me comes, he grew up with me. We grew up together. He's Derek Foster. He's actually a sergeant also with the Hammond Police Department with me, and, of course, that's his better half, Allison, and that was her little boy, Joseph.
Okay.
Well, we, like I said, you know, last year, you know, we got stressed out, I told you, instead of just having fun, and that's what I said I was going to do. We were going to try to have fun, enjoy, you know, make it fun again, and we did that the last two weekends at the Sam's Club in here, and, you know, we pretty much think, knock on wood, we have a decent, solid recipe there on ribs, chicken, and brisket, and pork butt, I told you, was always my Achilles heel, and we worked on it all season, and I think I've got something decent, because we've gotten two third-place calls the last two times we've used it. So, you know, we just cooked, and, I mean, it was good cooks. I wouldn't say they were the greatest, or I thought, oh, my God, I've cooked the best I've ever cooked in my life. They were just solid, good cooks with little nitpick things to say about it. And they asked me, and I said, well, I said, it's left up to the judges. I said, I'm happy with it. I said, nitpick things I can gripe about, but I said, overall, I said, it was just a decent, solid cook, you know, and you know, it's just been, you know, having fun in that, and I guess it's all transferring in, and we were lucky enough to get the calls and stuff, and it was pretty exciting this weekend.
Yeah, how many teams did you guys have there?
I believe there was 46 teams, but there was some pretty good teams there. So I mean, I'm honored that I was lucky enough to get Grand, and you know, it, with the teams that were there. I mean, you had Warren County was there. Of course, Swiggin' Pigs, Chick Swine Bovine, House It's Q, Wild Bunch Burnt Burners. I mean, there was just some really high-quality teams there. So we were very blessed and excited to get the calls we got.
Well, I know you guys have really worked hard, and you have worked your strategy to do well, too. But now, did I see that you're are you going to contest this weekend, too?
Yes, ma'am. We're headed to Bainbridge, Georgia this weekend.
Okay. I asked Forrest if it was him, and I have a note here that it's that you were going to Bainbridge because I saw that. So now, did you cook Bainbridge last year?
No, ma'am. We didn't cook it last year. I don't – if they had a cook-off, I don't think it was KCBS last year. I think
it was
FBA. First year KCBS. Okay. And I know they got the big bass tournament and everything going on, too, with it, so –
yeah, that makes it more exciting when there's something else going on, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Makes for a whole lot more people.
Yeah. Now, how do you work that out with your job, being able to get vacation days? Because you've got some seniority, though.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we're lucky the way we work here at the department. We work 2 days 1 week, then 5 days the next. Well, it's 12-hour shifts, and, of course, we work 5:45 to 5:45. 2 weeks a day, 2 weeks a night, so we're fortunate that every other weekend we're actually off. So two times out of the month, I'm off. But then, of course, two times out of the month, I have to work the entire weekend. In 3 days, I work almost 40 hours, you know, dealing with what we deal with. So we're fortunate the way we work, especially for me doing barbecue. It allows me to only take maybe off on a Thursday, 8 hours or 12 hours, and we're lucky enough to have every other weekend. So at least twice a month, if there's contests, I don't have to actually, take my personal time. So I'm fortunate that way.
Yeah, that does work out pretty good. I didn't realize that your timing worked like that. What do you guys got coming up after Bainbridge?
We'll be at home for Blues and Barbecue, our home cook, which this year it's always been 50 teams, 52. I think Eric's increased it, and we've got a few teams that we know that we've whittled in. And I tell you what, Hammond is going to be one tough contest this year. It always is, but the caliber teams this year is just going to be outstanding. I mean, you've got, I think, probably 4 or 5 actual barbecue pit masters that's going to be there, a couple of them that's actually won it. You got Donnie's going to be there this year, Warren County. You got Rod Gray there, Johnny Trigg. Darren, when I was Smokey D's, it's like a big brother to me. I mean, there's just some really high-caliber teams that's going to be here in Hammond. Of course, they love coming down here and eating their southern food is what they keep telling me.
Now, did I see that are you helping host a dinner or something for that?
Not really, but, it's my hometown, so there's a bunch of them coming in and staying the week after because they're going to go to Ashburn, Georgia, cook the fire ant contest, I think, after that. So I got to play tour guide. I have to take them down to Tabasco, to Avery Island, Lafayette. Then we got to go down to New Orleans. I got to take them to the Cafe du Monde, let them eat some beignets and go see Central Grocery, the old Italian grocery, Bufalotas and po' boys were invented, and got to do the New Orleans thing, so I'll probably weigh 600 pounds when I get through with them all.
How far are you from New Orleans?
We're about 45, 50 minutes south. It's not very far at all.
I thought you were farther away than that, so you're pretty close.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, did you get up there for Mardi Gras, or is that something that doesn't appeal to you anymore?
That appealed to me when I was still in high school and college. Now we pretty much run from it.
Do they ever have to die hard. Well, yeah. I mean, do they ever do a barbecue contest around there?
I think they did years ago. They used to have one down in New Orleans, I think in the fall, possibly, but I don't remember. I know I thought I saw one, but no, we don't have anything down there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I didn't think there was, because that would be one of those places that would be fun travel to, wouldn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe not for you, but for the people from out of the area. It's kind of like you coming to Disney for a barbecue contest.
Well, it would be nice, because at least it would be one more closer for me.
Yeah. Now, Hammond is where you're from, too, isn't it? I mean, that's where you live, correct?
Yes, ma'am. This is where I went to school. My whole family's from here. So, and like I said, I worked for the Hammond Police Department for 16 years. So this is kind of pride and honor to a degree here.
Yeah.
I don't do anything else the rest of the year. I got to at least make a good showing here.
Yeah. after Hammond, what do you guys have looking for the spring?
We'll be going to Atmore, Alabama, after him. And then, of course, April, I believe, we'll be going to Calhoun, Georgia. And then, Gadsden, Alabama, Calhoun, Georgia. And then, of course, we'll have Brandon, Mississippi, Pops Q and Banjo, which is always a great contest, especially if you love bluegrass music. I think they've got some of the best in the nation there.
Wow.
And, I'm sure there's a couple more I'm missing. And then during our big summer trip, we're going to hit Missouri and cook four and do a couple back-to-back double hitters on the weekend. And then we'll take a long trip 900 miles east towards Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and cook the north and the south one there. And then we'll drop down to Galax, Virginia, and then other ones back around home a little bit, Fulton, Mississippi, and a few other ones.
Yeah, you guys are animals. That back-to-back. Two in one weekend, we've talked about that before. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah, this is just an addictive hobby, like I told you. It gets in you. It's hard to get it loose. And when you do work that weekend, I'm not cooking, I'm like, something's wrong. It's like I'm like, what's wrong with you? I said, I guess I'm freaking out. I should be cooking. I don't know. It don't feel right. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm looking at y'all drinking a cup of coffee instead of cooking.
It is weird. Yeah, it's weird when you're home and you know that everybody else is out playing. And you say playing because you come home and you're tired as a dog, but there is just something about the whole camaraderie and being in the atmosphere, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, like I said, there's nothing else like it. And I know I said it before, it's like going home for the holidays when you get to go see these people.
Yeah.
But it's relatives you actually want to go see.
You guys are moving on in the Sams, aren't you, David?
Yes, ma'am. We came in four, so we made the top six. So we'll get to go to Mississippi, I think, in September.
Okay.
To South Haven, Mississippi. And hopefully, knock on wood, they'll be good to me there. And this time we can get a chance to go on to Nationals.
Yeah. Did you compete in the Sams last year?
Yes, ma'am, we did. We came down there to Tampa, and we came in fifth. And then that's when I told you we had that little voodoo spell that they were laughing at.
That's right.
At me. And, yeah, Hendersonville, because as a matter of fact, we come in, I think, we were in the 20s. It wasn't a good weekend. But
yeah.
We made it home safe without blowing out tires or anything else that weekend. So as far as I was concerned, I won.
Yeah, exactly. Where did you compete for your section of the Sams?
This year we went to Daphne, Alabama.
Oh, so there's a bunch of Florida boys there because
yes,
this Florida contest in Tampa was during one of our bigger contests. So, you know, some of because I actually competed in Tampa and didn't make it to go on. But and it's too bad. I really wanted to go to the next leg. But, you know, they really didn't like my chicken, David. Yeah, I tanked chicken. It's never a good time.
I know how
that
feels.
So congratulations. I forgot about the fact that you were moving on. And, you were at Daphne with a bunch of the Florida boys. So I know that was a big contest.
Yes, ma'am. There were some good teams there, too.
Who actually won that?
Now I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to mess his name up. I think it was Booty Q Barbecue or something.
Oh.
The gentleman that does the barbecue relief and stuff. You'll probably know who I'm talking about.
I forgot. I did see that. I just didn't remember it.
It was his hometown. He's actually from there.
Oh, is that right?
I think it was a home cook for him. He was from that area.
Yeah, you can't get much better than that. While we were in Tampa, Holy Hog. And it was a new, you know, like a, it just it was a trailer that said Tampa. And he ended up, the guy has five little restaurants, and he had such a following there that after turning and stuff, he had so many people coming by. It had to have been exciting for him, you know, because I'm sure he promoted it at his restaurants. And he's just they're little, I'm not going to say shacks, but they're smaller venues, and he was having a ball with his customers. So that atmosphere to be a home cook has to be a great time.
Oh, it is. I mean, like I said, you know, the first year we cooked Hammond Pro 2 years ago, we were fortunate enough that we got our first reserve. You know,
oh, nice.
Grand Champion on the pro side, you know, our first reserve, period. You know, so, I mean, and that was at home, especially with all my guys and everybody, you know, there. So that was, you know, meant the world. And, of course, the next year everybody was there, and we were lucky enough we came in fifth overall. But we got three calls, and we got three crawfish battles again. So, you know, it was a good, you know, with the caliber teams there, this place is nothing to be ashamed of.
No, gosh, no. No, you guys have respectable showings, and, you know, I'm just so happy for you that you broke the voodoo spell, and, you know, you're having a good time doing it, and you guys seem to always walk everywhere you go also. So, you know, congratulations to you. I was real happy to see that you pulled out smoking on the square.
Yeah, that was like I said, that was when they started calling it out, everything, we were like, you know, because actually, funny thing, and that's how, you know, how it works when you taste it and doing it. And Derek was with us. Well, I pulled one of the small pieces of chicken and let him taste it. And he was like, I don't like it. Skin don't bite. Blah, 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 blah. And, of course, then my wife tells me, well, put more in the box. I'm like, are you crazy? He just said it's nasty. You're telling me put more in the box. Now, I'm freaking out because I'm thinking the chicken's been like it's always been. you know, coming up last year when we changed it and, you know, figured it out, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what's going wrong. And to throw in the mix, my guru, my DigiKey guru went out on me, but thank goodness I called it when I heard the fan keep running for 20 minutes and I called it before, you know, I heard anything. So I got all that on my mind and going on. And she's saying, no, put more in the box. So we just put the chicken in the box and sent it. And I'm upset. Well, there's three pieces left, and they're bigger pieces. So I took a bite because I wasn't going to bite it to get more upset and just screw me up the rest of the day. And I did it, and it's juicy. It's delicious. It's just, I'm like, that's what it's been every time. What did he eat? I think Derek comes back, and I said, I stick the chicken in his face and say, taste this chicken. He goes, no, it's nasty. I said, taste the chicken. So he bites it, and he's like, that actually tastes good. I said, yeah. So, you know, that's how it goes. And then lo and behold, you know, we got a 180 in chicken. So, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that just, it just shows you sometimes it's crazy. And actually, to tell you even more of that, if you'd ask my wife, when I was trimming the chicken up, I told her I couldn't stand the way the chicken looked. And I was actually kind of aggravated when I was bagging it. And I made the comment to her. I said, watch this mess wins first place this weekend. But she made a comment to me afterwards. I said, yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, that's just how crazy it goes sometimes. You know, you hate the meat you're cutting up and doing, oh, this is the horriblest looking stand. The next thing you know, you're getting called with it. Look, going, wow. So
you never know.
About the voodoo, yeah, if you didn't remember, you remember what I named my pit this year? Because I put pictures of it.
I don't.
On Facebook. Marie Laveau.
Oh.
She's got a little sticker on her now, and I named her. So she's Marie Laveau.
Hopefully Marie will be good to you this year.
She's been good so far.
Yeah, she has. So. Well, David, congratulations again. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I appreciate your time.
Well, it's always a pleasure and honor, like I told you, to be even asked. So.
All right,
thank you a lot.
All right, thank you. Be careful out there, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All righty. That's David Morrow with Blue Bloods, and he's out there protecting and serving. I know he's an hour behind us in Louisiana, so he's just getting off work there. And we're going to go to our last guest right now, and we've got Jim Compart with us. Jim, are you there?
I sure am, Laurie.
Oh, you sound perfect on the phone. Jim is with Compart Duroc, and I'm thrilled to have you with us because I don't know if you happened to listen to the first part of the show, but we had a gentleman on, and we ended up talking about meats and stuff there because meat is such a big part of the barbecue business that I'm really excited to have you talk about it. So let's kind of start by tell us how your family farm came to be.
Well, Lori, this is actually a fourth-generation farm. Our fifth generation is coming into it right now. Our family has raised the Duroc breed of hogs for over 65 years. And
wow.
So we're in the genetics business. We actually have been raising that breed to make them better for 65 years.
You got several farms, don't you?
Well, we have a few of our own farms. We also work with other family operations. They're basically using all of our Compart genetics, and they also feed a specialized feeding program that we've developed over the last 18 years in our research farm that maximizes the flavor and the taste, not only the meat quality, but the fat quality as well. And so that's when you know, people are cooking our product. Everybody, you know, talks about how marbled our product is and how that fat just tastes like butter.
Yeah, and you don't really think of pigs as being marbled in a sense that you think about a Wagyu or beef being marbled, and yours truly is. Why don't you talk a little bit about the difference in that fat and how you achieved it?
Well, what we've done is, for about the last 10 years, we've been ultrasounding animals, so we can actually see the marbling in the live fires where it used to be, where we actually, you'd actually butcher a hog or you'd measure the amount of marbling in the animal, and then you wouldn't have that animal to reproduce it anymore. And now with the new technology where we can actually look at the marbling of the live animal and then use that animal to make the next generation better is what we do. And so that's how we get the high quality, marbled animals. But in addition, like I had mentioned, we've got a research farm that we've done research on, and we look at ingredients that that help meat quality, that help color, that help water holding capacity, and they're all natural ingredients, ingredients that are being used every day, but we're not cutting corners. We're doing everything that's known to science to maximize the genetic potential of this Duroc pig that we've raised.
I was reading, I spent quite a bit of time looking at your different websites, because you've got three websites, which we'll make sure to talk about. But I was looking, you've actually, you're a trademark, and you have some hybridization in there. They're F1s, right?
Right. What we do is we use actually F1 Yorkshire Landrace female. We breed it to a purebred compart Duroc sire.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we do this is that a purebred Duroc has actually got a very deep, dark root to its hair. And so when the animal is scalded, a purebred Duroc, especially in the fall and early winter, will have the hair will stay on the carcass. So with us breeding that animal and that purebred Duroc to that F1 female, all the pigs are white, and they've got, very fine hair, kind of like blonde hair, and, it the hair is very nice. So we actually sell quite a bit of product, not only that is skin on or skinless, but product that's skin on. And so by having this quality, the pig is completely dehaired. We don't have any problems where they, have to actually torch the hair or cut the hair out to damage the carcass. So, if, like, for instance, Brad Orenson and Brooke and Hobson down there at the shed, they've won Memphis in May the last 2 years with a skin-on compart Duroc pig, and, the carcass is, the pig is just perfect. It looks like a antique car when it comes out, when they're finished with it.
Yeah, it comes out beautiful, and I didn't realize that they were cooking your pigs. But yeah, they come out beautiful. I think everybody's aware of their pig from last year. It kind of made its round for pictures, that's for sure.
it's a gorgeous pig. You bet. And Mark Lambert.
You use a proprietary mix for your feed. Is that something that you make available commercially to local farmers in your areas?
We do. When people are on our program, they feed the exact same ration that we've designed at this research farm. So every pig is a compart bred pig, and every pig is on a compart diet. So that's why we've got such uniform, consistent product that, pit masters every week are cooking, and it just cooks the same every week. And that's the difference between, having a program like ours that is specialized. It's the most integrated program to have the exact same pig of that high quality, every week.
Yeah, absolutely. What you're talking about is what the consumer has become familiar with like Purdue chickens, and I'm just using that because they talk about the feed, the marigold, that's what makes the yellow fat. Now, you don't like yellow fat for competition, but for a consumer, if we would look at compart Duroc as the Purdue chicken of pigs, only on a higher class, I guess we should say, because you guys have really, you've really worked out the fine details on this, haven't you?
Well, and that's one of the things, looking back, like I said, our background was in genetics. We knew that, you can actually raise animals to have more back fat or less back fat or have more pigs. And we knew that, those are genetic traits, and so is meat quality. And so when you've seen, what was happening in the industry where they were using these real lean European white lines came into this country to decrease the amount of back fat on the pigs, at the same time, those white lion animals that came in didn't have hardly any marbling, and it was a light-colored, paler pork, and, you know, everybody's had that experience where, you know, they have a chop that's dry and it's tougher, and we knew that if anybody was going to do anything about making pork better, it wasn't going to be a processor. It was going to have to be a breeder that naturally bred that animal to maintain that higher pH that our Durox have got to increase the amount of marbling that we had. And we've actually tripled the amount of marbling in the last 10 years in our pig.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty substantial. Now, I actually saw that you referred to as the Black Angus of pork.
Well, that's actually a trademark we have. You know, that trademark quickly links up the difference. You know, Angus is a breed of cattle just like Duroc is a breed of hogs. And, you know, with that trademark tagline, you know, it quickly makes the association that the difference is the breeding.
Yeah.
And that's where it all goes back to. And so that's the little edge. You know, there's a lot of really good pit masters out there. You know, that's the little edge that, you know, takes them on to the next level, you know, consistently, you know, and that's what everybody needs if they're going to run the whole circuit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And my first guest, when I asked him if he had a tip to give people, he said, don't cut corners on meat. Buy the best meat you can buy. And, you know, obviously your meat was in that consideration, and that's, you know, it makes it harder for teams to think about that, but when you've got this kind of investment anyway, I saw in your meat store portion of your website that you guys actually have a competition meat packaging together. You want to talk just a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, when you look at, we've got a couple different options for people. We have, you know, competition pork butts. We have competition back ribs, competition St. Louis ribs. And then we also have those items packaged. You know, if you only want four pork butts, you can get four pork butts. Or if you need four ribs and two butts, you know, you can get that, whether it's a back rib or a St. Louis rib. And they can order those online. We've got our website to order online is www.compartdurockpork.com. So it's compartdurockpork.com. And they ship it out the early part of the week. So if you got a competition the end of the week, they process it. It's shipped out, and you'll have it in 2 days. So, you know, if you want to order, get some stuff ordered on the weekend or Monday at the latest, then you should have it by Thursday. So, and all those items, when we're processing the animals, we actually go through, take a look at, you know, the ribs, look at the butts, you know, look at the quality that is needed, you know, look at the uniformity and consistency. So, you know, it takes up, you know, a lot of the guesswork of having to sort through a lot of commodity product to try to find stuff that's trimmed right, but
wow.
Yet you're going to have a product that's going to cook extremely good.
Yeah. So let me just ask you this, because we were talking, I think you said your average pork butt for competition was 8.5 pounds, I think you said. Was that correct?
Yep. Yeah, they run, you know, in that 8.5 to 9 pound range.
Okay, and that's a nice size. Do your butchers, do they cut for money muscle?
Well, we try to keep the money. We try to keep the money muscle intact. I mean, that's you know, we you know, that's an important piece for most pit masters, and we try to find, you know, the best money muscles we can find. You know, these products are being sorted out of, you know,
yeah,
quite a few animals, so you know, the quality is really, really good. So
everybody that I know that have cooked your product has been extremely happy with it. You know, one of the comments that you and I talked about is, you know, the inexperienced judge that goes, you know, this tastes unusual because it's more porky. It's actually real flavorful. So, you know, an inexperienced pork eater might be unsure of it.
Well, I'm not sure. Everybody that, you know, tastes our pork, it's, you know, they'll say, well, it's kind of how pork used to taste.
It's
got more flavor. It's got definitely more flavor and definitely more juice. You know, Boar's Night Out, those boys, you know, they won Team of the Year last year in the MBN with our product. Mark Lambert, he won Champion Whole Hog down there at Memphis in May, along with, you know, Brad Orison, you know, Killer Hog this last weekend down at the National Barbecue Convention. They were reserve champion, Malcolm and Waylon were. And so, you know, there's, you know, a lot of bull, Mike and Debbie Davis, they've doing really well with our product. Victory Lane, Heath Riles, David Quayles, American Dream. And, you know, we've had a lot of people like Steve Overlay has used our product for about the last 3 years and, you know, qualified to Sam's, Leanne Whippen, Johnny Trigg. You know, a lot of big time barbecue pit masters. You know, they know the difference.
Absolutely. Now, what? How many acres does your family actually have in farming? Just out of curiosity.
Well, we farm of around 1,800 acres in Nicollet, Minnesota. That's about 75 miles southwest of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
There's three brothers that are involved with the operation. And our wives are all active with the operation, as well as now our sons are coming back and going on to the next generation. So
that's great. And you also have some family farms in Iowa, or is that other producers with your Compart name?
I've got another producer, you know, that actually raises product for our program that lives in Iowa. I do have a brother that lives in Iowa. He's not involved with our operation anymore. But, yeah, it's been an interesting, you know, barbecue. And we kind of joke about it in Minnesota that the barbecue guys run barbecue like the people from Minnesota, you know, fish. And so, you know, it's really interesting. They're great people. I just enjoy. I was down in Gaylix, Virginia, and I was down in Memphis here a couple weeks ago and met with the boys. And we had a booth down there at the National Barbecue Convention in San Marcos Fest last weekend as well. So, you know,
I saw your picture.
Fun to be around.
Yeah, I saw your picture with some of the boys. That's actually, I'm like, I got to get him, but I'm wondering if he's going to be too tired after the convention. Was the convention good to you?
Well, actually, I had the National Pork Producers Convention going on at the same time, and so. One of my associates that actually covered Texas, Steve, was down there and, you know, met everybody that is part of that. I was down there last year and I was down in Mobile, and that was a great time. And I really enjoyed it. So
nice. Nice. So let's go to the next step of this, because I was fascinated with the fact you're actually selling your genetics, aren't you?
We do. We sell them to other producers that, you know, are marketing animals. They're trying to make, you know, animals grow faster on less feed as well. And that's kind of been, you know, like I said, the genetic side of it is, you know, staying on task and having a end goal in mind. And it takes a lot of hard work to get there. But if you're going to do it, you know, if you're going to do it naturally, you know, the large processors would like to mechanically inject it or change it or manipulate it. But, you know, if you want a natural product, you know, it takes, like anything else, it takes a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you want to address this at all. There's been a lot of talk lately, and, you know, yours is a specialty item anyway, but that the U.S. is looking for beef and pork prices to actually be jumping here in the near future.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, being involved in the industry, you know, I see what's happening out there, and there's actually a disease that came into this country that is about 99.8% the same as the disease. It's called PED virus, and it came from China, and we're not exactly sure how it got in, but it's really devastated the U.S. hog population, and we're going to be looking at prices 25% higher than last year at a minimum.
You see that for summer?
Yeah, and we're looking at it. We're hitting those foals right now, and as everybody knows that's followed it, pork prices have gone up about 10% this last week, and, you know, it's they're looking at, you know, summer hogs will be 25% higher than where we were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and people that don't know, I mean, we're talking gestation on pigs are 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days. About,
yep.
Take a few. Well, I used to breed York Hamp crosses, but I had some Duroc sows, so that was what I'm familiar with. And you know, that takes a little while to recoup the market. And so I'm just kind of saying, you know, this virus is devastating because it's really wiping out whole populations. You know, if they don't get a handle on it. Do you want to speak a little bit to, you know, I'm here in Florida and people hear these trigger things like sow farrowing pens. Do you want to speak a little bit to the commercial side of that? Because first I'll tell you I'm all for it so that you don't think I'm setting you up. You know, maybe a little bit of the production end for people.
Sure. Well, you know, there's you had elaborated a little bit about, you know, production practices, and, you know, that's something that, you know, is entirely, you know, up to the producer. If you look at our production today, we're raising twice as many pigs per sow per year as what we did 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of it is you know, the genetics, the health, you know, and actually how they're being handled. You know, in Minnesota, we've had a real rugged winter. You know, we've had record snowfalls, record cold. In the last week, we've gone through all four seasons. It was 55 degrees yesterday, and it was 30 below a week ago. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, the gestation maternity pens, you know, is, you know, a place where you're able to control that sow and she's not out in that snowbank and that, you know, 30 below temperature with 30 mile hour winds. And naturally she's going to perform better. And so, you know, it's one of those things that in real life, you know, that sow would not perform better if she was, you know, uncomfortable. And, you know, she's comfortable. She performs better, you know, the animals that are the really high-producing animals, you know, they're not getting hurt and injured by the lower-producing animals that are stronger, right. You know, when they're weaned. And so, you know, it's in the best interest of, you know, the animal to be able to, you know, fend for itself, get proper nutrition, and that's why the production is better.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when they did away with farrowing pens in the state of Florida, and somebody that knows I knew anything about pigs called me and said, what did I think? And I said, I think all the sows in the state of Florida, after their next round of babies, will be sent to market. And they're like, well, what do you mean? It's just a means of, you know, proper care and making sure other animals aren't, Florida's an interesting bird in that relationship, so I think
if you ask a bunch of 3-year-old kids, would they rather have their seatbelt on in the back of the van or run around the van, they'd probably say, I'd rather be running around the van. And so,
that's a good
analogy.
It's
a matter of
yeah, that's a good analogy. Hey, Jim, we've got a caller here that's got a question for you, so I'm going to go to the caller, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, 360, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Jim?
No, actually, I don't, Lori. This is Rick Brown from Barbecue America, but I can call back because you may have callers waiting to talk to him.
Oh, okay. All right, Rick. You just hang loose. You can listen in.
I will definitely do that.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, Jim. You know, I got my little switchboard here, and I can't always tell, but I think you might know Rick anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, so selling the genetics, you guys are all actually selling semen that somebody can artificially inseminate, which, you know, I never thought of in my day, but only for dairy cattle. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, the thing that what artificial or AI has done for the industry is that you're able to take the very top 5% of the genetics and utilize those genetics to create the next generation, where it used to be you'd use, you know, 50 or 60% of the sires. And so, you know, at any point, you've got a bell-shaped curve where you're going to have the very elite animals. And so we can look at the very elite animals and then mass-produce, you know, animals out of the best of the best. And so, you know, the same thing for, you know, sow productivity. We can look at the very most productive, heavy-milking sows, you know, that have got the traits to raise lots of big, healthy pigs,
right,
and utilize those.
Yeah, it's amazing the technology that has happened in that world. I know that Compark Duroc is a trademark, but is there any possibility to eventually breed through to a pure strain?
Well, we do have the pure strains. That's what we use. That's what the actual Compark Duroc pig is a purebred Duroc. And so we use those sires to make, you know, the animals that we're using for processing. So it's designed this way, yeah.
Yeah, for registration purposes, are you separated from the Duroc as your own? Just out of
curiosity.
Yeah,
no. We actually all of our Duroc, Yorks, and Landrace are all pedigreed with the National Swine Registry.
Right.
And so we have pedigrees for 65 years going back in these animals.
Yeah, and you know, that's an amazing thing. At one of my summer jobs at Purdue, I did Yorkshire. I checked all the records, the little notches in the ears that you guys send in. I actually sat and did that for a part-time job, but I learned a lot too. It's fascinating to me, and I know that people who believe in getting the best meats, that this is something really important. And I guess that goes back to if we're going to get the most out of our competition, we want the best meat, just like you're going to get the best out of your animals. You're putting in the best food you can put in.
Sure, you bet.
Yeah.
And,
we'd
be happy, you know, if anybody, you know, has got any questions out there and they're wanting more information, feel free to, you know, they can send an email to info@compartduroc.com.
Info.
You know, if they got any questions.
Okay. And just real quick, you've got, there's actually three websites. The Compark Duroc Pork is where your meat store is. And then what's the other two?
Well, the Compark Duroc Pork is the one that will take you right to our online website. If you go to CompartDuroc.com, you'll come in and you'll see, you know, how the animals are raised, the, you know, the different products that we put out. And if you want to get to our website, you go to the upper right-hand corner and click on that little yellow triangle, and that will take you to our web store to purchase meat. And then the other one is compartsboarstore.com. That's our genetics website. So, feel free to take a look there. And if you go to the Compark Duroc website on the bottom left side, under multimedia presentation, if you click that, a little video will come on and it'll tell the whole story.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. So you guys have spent some time on that. I really appreciate it. Anything that you want to leave us with, the last thoughts that you have?
Well, I just wish everybody good luck. You know, we're just starting out the season, and it's going to be an exciting year. And there's a lot of great tip masters out there, and you guys all have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Did you ever think that your marriage would be, or that you would have, like a marriage with the barbecue people? I mean, was that your intention, or was it just to produce a great meat product?
Well, we actually distribute you know, coast to coast. We sell to a lot of white tablecloth restaurants. We've been in the Bellagio, Caesar's Palace for about 9 years. And so we reach out and we, you know, are in some of America's finest white tablecloth restaurants, as well as Alaska, Hawaii, Singapore, Hong Kong we ship to. And, you know, the barbecue world, you know, we started seeing, you know, the various competitions out there. And so we kind of got hooked up with them, you know, tried to learn a little more about them, what their needs are. And we learned a lot from, you know, the various people. You know, a couple weeks ago I was down to Barbecue Live with Malcolm Reed and Mark Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, did their class, and, you know, you get to meet an awful lot of really good people, and that's what I've learned is, you know, there's no better people than the people that are doing the barbecue work, and yet they have a little fun, so.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate your commitment to what you're doing out there, and if there's ever breaking news that you want to announce the barbecue world, I'd love to be one of the people you'd call.
You know, I appreciate that, Lori, and enjoy your show.
All right. Thanks so much for giving us some time today, Jim.
You bet.
All right.
Have a good
All right,
night.
So,
thank you.
Thank you. That's Jim Compart with Compart Family Farms, and you can go on compartdurock.com, and it'll lead you to the rest of the places there and see what a quality, we'll call them heritage hog, but this is a genetically sound pig that we should all be cooking with. I guess that'll be my next order. Okay, let's go to Rick Brown. I saw Rick, are you there? No, I didn't get you to come in. I'm trying to get you.
About,
there you are.
About
are you
some
there,
stories.
Yeah,
I'm
how
here.
Are you today?
Are you there?
I am. How are
I'm
you?
Excellent. We have sunshine for the first time in probably 2 weeks out here in Washington, so I'm in great shape.
Good. It's kind of funny for Jim Compart just said he had all four seasons in the last week, which is, you know, unfortunately across the nation, that's kind of how it is right now. So
well, we had this year, we had a foot and a half of snow that weekend that I was in Florida with all the liquid sunshine that you guys brought for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Weather's pretty messed up all over the place.
Yes, it is.
And we're talking to Compart Durock about doing some things in the magazine, as a matter of fact. So I found your conversation with him very interesting.
Yeah, I figured, and actually when you said it was Rick Brown and then you said you didn't have a question, I'm like, well, I know you're probably doing something in the magazine with it because it is such a hot topic for meat choices. So I'm sure
yeah,
that you
we
guys
were just
are doing
in, We were just in Austin at the National Barbecue Convention or conference, and there was a Compart Durock representative there in the trade show. So, yeah, I'm very interested in that. I mean, with Berkshire and those hogs, pork is undergoing a real big change, which I think is for the better. We're going to get tastier, juicier, moister pork out of this, and nobody's going to complain about that.
No, not at all. So how is the magazine coming?
It is awesome. In Austin, I got the first word from the distributors, the people that are selling the magazine out and about the U.S. The reaction has been spectacular. We are going to have over 30,000 retail outlets for the magazine.
That's great.
And that includes every major grocery store chain, convenience store chain, retail store, and plus a lot of the big boxes, Kmart, Walmart, Target, Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, 7-Eleven, and all the grocery stores, Safeway, and including the two major grocery stores up in Canada. So right now the press run has been expanded to 300,000 copies for that first issue because there's so much interest in it. So I'm just blown away by all the interest.
Well, that's amazing. And when is that first issue coming out?
April 29th.
Okay,
people that have a subscription will get it in their mailbox shortly thereafter. And then we're going to premiere it at Memphis in May. We're going to give away 20,000 copies at Memphis in May. We're going to have a big there. We'll have a big RV. And we're going to have a dragon barbecue and a whole lot of fun things. So it's getting close, and I'm getting more excited day by day.
Well, good. So did you guys start working on your girls' battle?
Well, as a matter of fact, I talked to Amy Mills in Austin, and what we think we're going to do is team up with her. They have a contest in September, and she suggested that we make that all-girl competition part of her show, their competition. And I think that's a great idea. Rather than start something and invent it right from the first for ourselves, we're going to team up with Amy and Mike, who are no better partners, and have this in September in at their show in Illinois. And I'm getting really excited about it because this has never been done. And as you and I know, we talked about it in Florida. I'm going to make sure that you get an invite and several of the people I met down there at Apopka. And then a lot of the gals that I know. In fact, the cover photo on our Facebook page for Barbecue America magazine is the eight heroines of barbecue, the gals who have all been recognized by the NBBQA for their service to barbecue.
Nice.
So we're really getting into it because, you know, you gals deserve as much credit as the guys. And we're going to make sure that happens with a really fun contest.
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, I'm in, barring that it is a time where I'm already booked for something, because if it's Labor Day weekend, I am booked for something, but I might have to change it. I'm from Indiana originally, south of Chicago, so it might give me a good time to go over and see some
Hoosier gal.
Yeah, well, I haven't been there since 81, but, you know, it would be a great time to go back and see some people. So I'm in.
Well, as soon as we get some details, I will get them to you so you can spread the word. But we're working on it. And Amy was pretty excited about it. Carolyn Wells, everybody I mentioned this idea to thought it was a great idea. So we're going to proceed and make it happen.
Okay. I know Corey wants to be in, so I'll keep her informed on the loop too, okay?
Okay, kiddo. Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed your show with the talk about the Duroc. I think that I like what you do. You give people a broad perspective of the whole barbecue industry, not just talking to the competitive teams or things, but you give a lot of information that I don't think anybody else gives out. So I enjoy listening to your show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, well, you keep us posted, okay? All right.
Certainly will. You take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. All right, so that's Rick Brown with Barbecue America. He's been with us before, and I'm sure he'll stop in again. Now, I'm guessing that this might be Leslie that didn't get in when she was in earlier, but she's trying to answer your call.
Hi.
Leslie, is this you?
It is me.
Hi, and I'm guessing we lost you earlier. I kind of just did your announcement.
And truthfully, I'm sorry, it just dawned on me, Eastern Standard Time versus Central Standard Time. That is exactly what happened. I am so, so sorry.
It's okay, because we've got a few minutes yet, so I basically gave the scoop. But why don't you tell us a little bit, we're talking about the Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Duel in Tupelo, but it's benefiting the Link Center. What is that?
Link Center is a nonprofit organization in Tupelo where we try to link the community with affordable arts, education, and community services.
Oh.
We have a facility that used to be something and has been redone to be the Link Center. So it houses Tupelo Symphony. We're a very small community, about 70,000 people, and we actually have a symphony. So it has that. It has lots of nonprofit organizations that go out and help the community, and this gives them an affordable place to have that organization. So
that's great.
It is. It's a really wonderful thing, and about 5 years ago, they brainstorming, trying to come up with a good fundraiser that would benefit not only Link Center, but the city of Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, hey, let's have a barbecue competition. And that's how it was born. We our very first year, we had about 25 teams. It was a Memphis-style competition.
Oh, okay.
Very small, and the next year they decided, you know, I think that maybe we could do something a little different. They went with KCBS, so we are a fully sanctioned KCBS competition. It is in our downtown area called Fair Park, which for those who might not know about Tupelo, Tupelo is the birthplace of Elvis Presley,
mm-hmm.
and Fair Park is where they took the old fairgrounds, and they renovated it, developed it to become our city hall and a place for businesses as well as residential. So it's very multi-use. And there's a nice big park area in there, and this is where we have the music festival. And then behind city hall is where we actually have all of the barbecue teams.
It is.
It's just amazing. Everybody's on paved area. I am limited to 100 teams.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's all. And let me tell you, it's a challenge to get them all in, but by George, we do, because there usually is such interest. Last year, we sold out about 5 weeks before the event.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of folks are ready to get out. They've been cooped up for the wintertime.
Yeah.
It's right after the Florida competition in Pensacola, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Pensacola just happened?
Pensacola just happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of folks that come from Pensacola, and then they come up through Tupelo, and then they venture off to several other areas. But so this year I have three spots left, and the only reason for that is I've had a couple of, you know, last-minute cancellations, as you always do.
Right.
You hate for anybody to get sick or whatever, but, hey, it happens. And so I actually have one full-size spot left and two half-size. That's it.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, Leslie, do you work for the Link Center, or do you work for the city or something?
I am actually on the Link Center board.
Okay.
I'm a general contractor by trade, and my my boss said to me several years ago, you need to get involved with the community. And it's like, what? It's not enough that I'm president of this and do that?
Yeah.
I said, hey, that's okay. I can do more. And
yeah.
Link Center, I fully believe in the mission.
Yeah.
And so there you go. And because of my background in construction and scheduling and whatnot, kind of it's a perfect marriage with coordination for an event of the size, because it's a big event, and there's
a lot
of moving parts.
Well, I didn't realize you had that many teams, but I was reading. You guys really have an awful lot of stuff going on. What I'm curious about, you have, it said, Smoky Hale Southern Barbecue, and then underneath it, like in a bullet form, it said America's Oldest Art Form. I'm confused.
Well, Smoky Hale is an author who has written a book, and he's a public speaker, about barbecue.
Oh.
And so he says that barbecue is the oldest American form. So
okay.
That's where that comes from.
Is he going to be there? Or are you doing like a story thing or something with him?
Oh, no, he is actually going to be here. I think he arrives Friday. He will have two talks that he's doing on Saturday.
Nice.
So that's going to be just wonderful, so that the team members after turn-in will be able to come over and hear his talk and meet him and say hello. And I'm sure he'll be walking around.
Okay. Now, I got to tell you, because I didn't realize that, and that was one of the things I just saw in all your list of things that were going on that I wanted to ask about. And your ancillaries, I see that you have shrimp and wings.
Yes. We do.
Is that because you're judging? Because those are pretty good ones to have.
Well, what we try to do, and remember, this is a fundraiser, and so one of the ways that we raise funds, because I assure you, putting on a competition of this size, it's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to give the support structure, electricity, water, all
right.
of those things. And those things, they cost me money, because this is not a campground. And so we make our fundraising basically comes from our sponsors and from our concessions.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do for our sponsors to help really get them engaged in barbecuing and the whole competition is they get to judge the ancillaries. And so we get the teams, we give them the meat, we give them the shrimp, we give them the wings, they cook their way. Salsa is also like that, only I don't give them tomatoes. They need to get their own tomatoes. And
oh, I missed the salsa contest. I didn't see that one.
Also on Friday night.
Oh,
and
nice.
So they turn that in. And there are cash prizes for each of those three ancillaries.
Good.
And that's also, so the judges are our VIP sponsors.
Okay.
Helps to engage them. It also helps to feed them. It's twofold.
Yeah. Well, oh, definitely, because that's those are pretty good ones to have, because you could really have some amazing shrimp out there. Well, I'm super excited that you guys are sold out. I didn't realize that you were sold out when I saw that.
Only three spots left. Let me mention, three spots left.
And they can get a hold of you by going on the TupeloBBQDuel.com, or is a different way?
No, that is correct. And they can register online as well as pay online.
Let me ask you about that. Do you love being able to do that? Because a lot of our contests don't do it, but we've just had a couple that allowed for it, and boy, I love that.
It is just amazing because it's really convenient for the teams, regardless of where they are. Today, with all of our technology, they have iPads, they have iPhones, you have your laptops, you can do so many different things. And to be able to get online, not only see everything, get all the information, fully register, and then using PayPal or just a regular credit card account, get in there and pay, and it's done.
Yeah.
And then for me personally, I love it because the record keeping of it, I have a computerized version the application with all the information.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
I would tell any organizer, get your website up and running, put all of this information on there so that they can view it and download it, and then do it so that they can register and pay online.
Yeah, I think that really has to make your life a little easier. I know that, like I said, I've done it for two contests that they just allowed for it recently, and I think it's definitely the way to go.
Absolutely it is. I would, yeah.
Well, I'm
love
glad
that.
You called back in.
I am
anything
so
that you
sorry.
Wanna...
I feel like such a ditz.
Don't worry about it. I just actually, David called in perfectly. I talked a little extra with Forrest, and I made your announcement, but it's always nice to get the organizers involved, so I'm glad you could call back in. Anything you want to leave us with tonight?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, of course, anybody listening, please get online, you know, try and get registered, come see us. It's a wonderful, wonderful event. The weather's supposed to be great, and we just found out today, and I'm hope it's okay that I say this. Soup, can I talk about another radio show?
Sure.
Maybe. Oh, Super Talk Radio is supposed to be here broadcasting on Friday.
I don't know who that is, but who is
well,
that?
Well, I didn't either, but they come with a big bus, and they've already called some of the teams. I heard one of your earlier callers mention Malcolm Reed. Malcolm won our contest 2 years ago, and so this Super Talk, they're coming up. They're going to talk. They are interviewing him as well as some of the other big folks. We've got Q and Stewin' and Bruin with Scott Smith. He's, I think the last that I checked, he was 13th or 14th in the standings. Warren County Pork Chopper's going to be here.
Great.
Last year they were KCBS's top. You know, so we have some phenomenal folks. But I'll tell you, everybody's just really down to earth. And Tupelo, you know, what do they say? Come sit on our front porch and sit a spell.
Well, hopefully you'll have lots more people doing it. One of these days, you extended an invitation for me to get my hind end up there. One of these days,
we need women. I
might get up there and do that.
We need more women pitmasters. There's without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in and being with us, and good luck with your event. And that starts when?
Load-in starts this Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Okay, Thursday.
Competition, of course, meet inspections start on Friday, and judging is on Saturday.
Okay, but you are allowing Thursday load-ins.
Absolutely. And
all right, well, good luck.
Thanks.
Have a great time. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Leslie. All right, so that's Leslie Mart, and that's the TupeloBBQDuel.com. You can check it out there and get signed up, pay, and get one of the three spots left, which would be great. Anyway, that's going to wrap our show up for tonight. Definitely have had a lot of good information. Congratulations to any of the guys that we mentioned earlier, Dave and Mara with Blue Bloods for his past win this weekend, and, of course, our Florida boys, Bud Meister, who I plan to have on next week. Sorry that he couldn't be with us tonight. He was intending to, but had a little back issue. So we're going to get him on next week. And, again, thanks to my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, Mac Daddy Smokers, Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers, CookinPellets.com, Royal Oak, and Pirate 50. Listen, if you're at a contest and I'm there, please feel free to come by my campsite, competition site, and feel free to look at one of the cookers. If I'm cooking in the middle of turn-ins or something, you can't open them, but I'll be happy to stand around in between or afterwards and show you anything about any of the main cookers, including I take a drum with me. So right now I'm carrying the Sweet Smoke Q juice can. I'm carrying my Mac Daddy stick burner, and I've got that Rec-Tec cooker, and you're welcome to come look at any of them. And happy to give you a brochure if I've got it on it, or point you over towards Jim Elzer so he can sell you a drum. Anyway, folks, thanks so much. Barbecue Superstars is here 6 nights a week, 5 days. You can check Daryl out on barbecuesuperstars.com. And thanks to my guest tonight. Really enjoyed everybody's time. And we'll see you next Tuesday for sure, but hopefully I'll be with you on live remote from Tallahassee this Friday. So with that, safe travels to everybody. Good luck, and we'll be with you Tuesday for sure. Good night, folks.